Good morning, everybody. As we come to worship this morning, we continue thinking about the Holy Spirit and the freedom that we can find in Him. We come to worship God who made streams flow from rock, who turns the parched earth into springs of water, who sends the rain from heaven, it's coming, and makes the wilderness blossom and flourish. As the deer thirsts for flowing streams, so we thirst for you, O God. Come, let's worship our life-giving God, who pours out living water on all who thirst. Amen. And so we sing, As the Deer Pants for the Water, number 37. She'll come and lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Father God, as we've just sung, you are a living God, someone who's always with us at every moment of every day. We thank you that we can come into your house today, freely and joyfully to worship you. Be with us now. Calm our thoughts and our hearts as we share this time of worship with you. Lord, we marvel at the world that you've given us. Words of praise come to our lips as we see the majesty of the mountains and hear the roar of the sea breaking on the beach. We watch the beauty as a bee, perfectly formed by your hands, lands effortlessly on a flower, and the sweet scent of the rose as we brush past them. Our voices just want to give you all the praise and glory for our beautiful world. We praise you and give you thanks for the way that you've been at the centre of our lives this week. You have fed us in the activities of this week. You have come alongside us in our quiet times. And you've been there when we've cried out to you and answered prayers in so many different situations. Lord, our words seem inadequate to express our gratitude for the way you help us in the situations we face. Lord, we just stand in awe of you. Thank you that your love reaches the innermost parts of our hearts, and that love stretches far and wide each and every day. Lord, we're sorry when we let our own selfishness get in the way of doing your will. For harsh words spoken when we've been worried. For not being as kind and attentive as we should have been when dealing with those around us. For letting you down when we should have acted more quickly. Lord, make us realise that when you're the centre of our lives, we're walking in step with you. Lord, we pray for those that need your special touch, for those we know that are ill, and we think especially of Marjorie today and her family. We ask that you will be with them and surround them with your grace, love, and peace as they spend precious moments with Marjorie. We pray for those we know that are being cared for. Be with their carers and come alongside them and bless them as only you can. We pray for those recovering from operations and those still waiting for appointments. Lord, we thank you for the doctors and nurses that work so hard when we need them most. Lord, we pray for Sharon. Be with her today as she speaks to us and then shares communion with us. Please continue to restore her after her sabbatical and show her how she can be the minister you want her to be. We pray for our hurting world, all those people that have their lives turned upside down with the events of this week. Lord, we ask you to be all in all these situations. We continue to pray for peace all over the world, that the leaders will see that what their country really needs is stability, food security, and hope for the future. Lord, be with those people trying to negotiate a way to peace. We pray for our government as they strive to lead the country through difficult times. That choices need to be made. Give them wisdom and compassion in equal measure. Lord, we pray for our families and friends. Help us to be the people you want us to be, available to our friends and family, and sharing your love with them in practical ways, and knowing that holding them in prayer each day is the best help we can ever give them. So, Lord, we pray for ourselves. Come alongside us now so that we can open our hearts to your message, that we will see your living water is what we need, and that you are our shield and strength in all that we will face this week. That you will show us the people you want us to speak to and to share your love with. We ask that your spirit will fall afresh on us. And the words to that wonderful chorus begin. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me. Melt me. Mould me. Fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen. Let us join together to say the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. As we come to our reading this morning, we come to see Jesus, who is attending the Feast of Tabernacles. I often talk about the Feast of Tabernacles at harvest time. And while he's teaching and preaching there, he once again comes into conflict with the local religious leaders because he's challenging their traditional views. I like it when Jesus challenges. This causes some infighting among both the people and the Jewish leaders themselves. The people hear his words, they see his miracles, and begin to wonder if Jesus really is the promised one. And so I'll ask Dot if she'll come and give us our reading.
The reading this morning is from John chapter 7, verses 37 to 44, and it can be found on page 1072. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus, people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him.
As we heard the opening verses to that passage, as channels of God's living water, we are free to go with his flow. So what does that look like in our lives? And we'll explore more after we've sung number 803, "As Water to the Thirsty."
As
We always say it after that song. They're beautiful words, aren't they? Let's pray. Lord, as we've just sung those words, may we reflect on who you are to each one of us, our living Lord. As we come to hear your word, speak into each of our hearts, that, Lord, we may know more about you and that we would love you even more. Amen. So I've been talking a lot and we've been singing a lot and we've been praying a lot about water. Now all we've got to do is wait. Now, for those that were on the Sea of Galilee with me, you know what happened. So be very aware when you leave the building later. We have thunderstorms. But we survived another heat wave this week, did we not? Well, most of you are here, so yeah, I assume you did. I don't know about you, but I don't think I could leak as much. I said on Wednesday at Wednesday Fellowship, I think Tuesday when I decided to be a domestic goddess, probably the worst day to decide to be a domestic goddess, I went through two changes of clothes. Have you ever heard the saying, men sweat, women perspire? Or men sweat, women glow. Yeah. It actually comes from a longer idiom, it's called. Horses sweat, men perspire, and ladies merely glow. So I was thinking, as temperatures hit 34, I decided that if horses sweat and men perspire and ladies glow, then right then I was glowing like a horse. I'll leave you with that thought. Now, I don't think that's what Jesus meant when he said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. But you can conjure up that image in your head. But it did get me thinking how grateful I was for the refreshing ice-cold water that I drank at regular intervals, that satisfied my thirst and reminded me how water quenches and sustains and restores and rejuvenates. And I know a lot of people say, oh, I don't like water. Is that you? I just saw the nudge going in. But actually, any liquid when it's really hot, you know, just something to cool us down. My mum always said that a cup of tea cools you down. She's right, actually. I do agree. I know, chatting to my nieces over the last few days, they were both going for the cuppers because Nanny said. But it reminded me of our passage this morning. We know that water satisfies and quenches our thirst and sustains life. In the Bible, we read often that water symbolizes the sufficiency, the abundance of the Holy Spirit. And here Jesus is using the metaphor, reminds us that a flowing river invigorates and rejuvenates, restores and satisfies the soul. In Jesus' day, as we read, during the Feast of Tabernacles, which Jesus is attending here, a choir sang while a priest filled a gold pitcher with water and poured it out. This reminded all those present of the water that gushed from the rock during the wilderness wanderings that we can read about in Exodus and Numbers. This was the moment we read at this, as this ceremony was taking place in the temple, surrounded by a crowd of worshippers, that Jesus stood and suddenly cried out in a loud voice, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their heart will flow rivers of flowing water." This source, Jesus tells us, is the Holy Spirit, who is like a well of satisfaction. Earlier in John's Gospel, when Jesus encountered the woman at the well, He had made the dramatic claim that a believer would have a continual source of spiritual refreshment. Now this may seem, and you've still got that image conjured in your head, haven't you, of sweating and perspiring and glowing. Out of a believer's heart will flow rivers of living water. But yet, as it turns out, the claim isn't so strange, because Jesus actually had much to say about the idea of water and of new life. Earlier, Jesus had told Nicodemus that one had to be born of water and the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. And he goes on to explain this spiritual birth. In John 4:10, he tells a Samaritan woman that he would give her the living water. This was in contrast to the physical water that she came to the well to draw. That physical water would run out and she would need to continually return to get more. But in response to her question, Jesus offered the woman and everyone who believes in him water that would never run out. They would never need to be thirsty again. Water that would become within the believer, as we read, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Perfect salvation and satisfaction in him, as Isaiah writes. So where do we look for our contentment, for our satisfaction? Life and characters in the Bible tell us through bitter experience not to look to ever-changing circumstances for satisfaction, but instead to look to our unchanging God. Why then do we keep seeking for something to satisfy us? Basically, it's because we have to. Whether we comprehend it or not, our souls are thirsting for God. Every desire, every ambition, every longing of our nature is nothing less than a thirst for God. As I always say, there's a God-shaped hole in our hearts just waiting to be filled by him. Humankind was born for his love, and we cannot live without it. He is the happiness for which people seek. Everything that we desire is found in him and infinitely more. Yesterday, for those who listen or read Lectio 365, he reflected on seeking holiness, living holy lives, being set apart. He said, so other that they are incomparable to the way of life of this world. So that idea that when Jesus saves us, that we are set apart, so that we are so different to the ways of the world, that people will see a difference. He used a worship song that said, set me free from everything the world says I need. Set me free, you are everything that I need. That's not too difficult to remember, is it? We've been talking about freedom and being set free. You are everything that I need. When we hand over all that burdens us, all that weighs us down, conforming to the ways of the world, and instead draw from the living water of our Lord, we are lighter and we have a true purpose. As Jesus identifies the living water as the Holy Spirit dwelling within believers, a person's deepest spiritual longing to know God personally will amazingly be satisfied forever. In response to Jesus' invitation to come to him, which refers back to the Old Testament prophetic passages. We read again in Isaiah, who writes, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." And again he writes, "What joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And then we come to drink, which means to believe in him, to enter into a trusting, ongoing, personal relationship with our Lord. Both the image of coming to Jesus as one would come to a person and of drinking imply not merely intellectual assent, but a wholehearted personal involvement and participation with him. In the Message, we read our verse today, "Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in Jesus this way, just as the scriptures say." God will put his spirit in each believer, and each believer will have eternal life and the evidence of life in the Holy Spirit who is within. It's in that sense that the rivers of living water would flow from the hearts of believers. It is the Holy Spirit who dwells in believers and seals them for salvation. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit flowing out of a heart redeemed by God that blesses believers, through them brings life and light to the world. As we heard the passage this morning, at that time that Jesus was speaking, his work of salvation was not complete. And although, as we read, the Holy Spirit had been working, he merely came upon people, but did not yet indwell believers. The Holy Spirit had not been given in full and powerful sense that was promised until after Jesus' ascension and, as we celebrated a few weeks ago, at Pentecost, and is now in our lives daily. The blockage of sin will be permanently removed when Jesus comes again in glory. Jesus uses such beautiful imagery to help us to understand what a heart filled with the Spirit can look like. Without his Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Our life depends on it. We must know his power. Imagine with me a special place, perhaps in your memories, where there is a river flowing. The current is strong. It may begin or end with a waterfall. Life is like a stream or a river. It rarely runs straight and it has many channels that run off of it. Are we thirsty today? Then we must confess our sin and Christ will fill us with his Spirit again and again. He will quench our spiritual thirst as we submit to his will. He will graciously fill us with living water, springing up to eternal life. And as we think of that water, it serves another function too. The living water that refreshes us is to refresh others also. The world, as we know, is parched, not just because it's waiting for it to rain. Many people do not know Jesus, the Jesus who really cares about them. The Spirit of God comes to bring his church alive. It is our privilege to share with him, with the help of his indwelling Holy Spirit, who helps us to believe and helps us to witness. Like the apostles on that Pentecost day, we can no longer contain the joy that the living God gives us, and we have to tell others about it. As believers, we can do all that Christian stuff. Go to church, read our Bibles, pray, but still remain lifeless. The indwelling Holy Spirit not only helps us to understand what we take in, but as our hearts flow, rivers of living water will brim and spill out, as we must also give out in service to others. So don't go with the flow of what's around you, because that's easy and it leads to an unfulfilled life. May the Lord make us refreshing fountains where thirsty souls may drink. Indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we possess the water of life and can be channels of blessing and peace to those in need. The indwelling Holy Spirit carries us along by a power and purpose greater than ourselves. So we must be in the flow, meaning that we are actively and fully immersed and focused on the will of our Father God. As channels of God's living water, we are free to go with his flow. What Jesus accomplished for us, the Holy Spirit works out in us. To output, we need to input. Only in our emptiness of giving all we have can the divine fullness flow in. And so, when we find ourselves restless and thirsting for something more in life, then we respond to Jesus' invitation, "Come to me and drink." We go to him. We drink freely of his grace and his forgiveness and experience true joy. So remember, men sweat, women glow, but Christians flow. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your words can turn our dryness to enthusiastic hope. You show us how to worship the Father in spirit and truth. Lord Jesus, give us that fountain of living water welling up to eternal life. Lord Jesus, we want to live for you. May your life and love flow through us as we go about our daily lives, so that others may see you through us and be drawn to the living water of your Holy Spirit. Amen. As we sing our next hymn, number 921, another element that is used to describe the Holy Spirit is fire. The Holy Spirit purifies believers by transforming our hearts and lives, leading us to become more like Jesus. So as we prepare to gather around our Lord's table, let's sing number 921, "Purify My Heart." So are we ready to go with his flow?
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yes.
The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. May that love always be with you. This is Jesus who promises us, those who drink of the water that I will give will never be thirsty. Blessed are we who are invited to eat and drink at the banquet of our Lord. God's presence is with those who love him and come to worship in his name. Whether we have a howling wind or tongues of fire, the Spirit Jesus promised is here with us. We are free to go with his flow. It brings us together to his table, not separated by distance, but joined by his Spirit. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for being the kind of people that we are. We are never satisfied, never content with what we have. So we are ever anxious, often angry, sometimes envious and jealous. We are concerned for our own needs, but careless of each other's. Open our lives again to your fatherly love. Hold us, forgive us, and transform us. Your holy word says that you lead us beside peaceful streams. You renew our strength. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. And so we pray, O Holy Spirit, give us in all of life's pain and sorrow, peace and joy in Christ our Lord. Amen. As we continue to think about being in his flow, the thing about the flow is that when it is before us, we feel like we are pushing against it. And when the flow is behind us, we feel as if anything and everything is possible. Both are true. The Holy Spirit both pushes and pulls us as we try to live faithfully in a world. In some ways, we think that this meal is the same. It is a reminder of the death of Jesus, the breaking of his body in the bread and the shedding of his blood in the cup. But it is also a promise of the great feast yet to come. God's word says, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows with blessings." And so we come, both remembering and looking forward with hope, being challenged by and accepting of God's grace. God, the living fountain of new life, in these signs of bread and wine, your Son Jesus comes among us. May we satisfy our hunger and quench our thirst for a deeper faith and hope and love. Jesus' words to his disciples as they gathered in the upper room. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And so we pray. Father, we thank you for not only for giving us life, but also for giving us new life and hope. We thank you for your reassurance that no matter who we are, your grace is sufficient for our needs. We thank you for every opportunity to honour your name and to be nourished by the presence of the living Christ, the true bread of life. Now, as people gathered in your name, we pray that you would make your presence known to us. Holy Spirit, as you have done before, breathe your breath of life over us, making our gifts of bread and cup communion with you. Renew us again. Nourish our souls by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. And so as you receive the bread, please take and eat as a sign of your own individual response. The body of Christ given for you. The cup, please retain it, and we'll drink together as a sign of our unity as the body of Christ. We take this cup as a sign of our unity in Christ's family. The blood of Christ given for you. Go now, having been refreshed at his table, to the service of God's people near and far, refreshed by the living water that only Jesus offers. Listened for the parched voices of the least of these. Search out the dry places and the arid souls, and become for them a spring of living water. And as you go, may the blessings of the God of life, the Christ of love, and the Spirit of grace be upon you this day and forevermore. Amen. So if you really are happy to go with his flow, let's blast the roof off this building as we sing number 708. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Let's pray. May the Lord wash you in the waters of life and nourish you with his love, hope, and peace. May the Lord pour the waters of his love upon your dryness and keep you always in his peace. May God, the fountain of new life, offer the living water that springs up from the rock, Jesus Christ. And may Almighty God bless you and all those around you with his indwelling spirit flowing out of your believing hearts. Amen.